So, Gary, what are we going to be talking about this week?
Well, I just got back from my office Halloween party.
Ooh.
And I've got this, I got this spooky jar.
Ooh.
It's shaped like a Frankenstein head. When you push the top of it, it sinks.
It's like it's brains.
Yeah, check this out. Hold on one moment.
Who can it be now?
What?
Yeah, it sings Who Can It Be Now?
Okay.
Yeah, but more importantly, you can see this portion here that's clear. There are jelly beans in it. And I guessed correctly, and my prize was this awesome jar full of jelly beans. And I figured I wanted you to see if you can guess how many jelly beans are in the jar.
Okay, let me look here. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 jelly beans.
Yep, it was pretty easy. you know, that they need to come up with the jelly bean budget's going to go through the roof if they don't come up with a better system for fiscal year 2014. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's 13. But here, check out this last one here.
Okay. So
there's 13, but look at the fine print on the jelly bean.
Let me see here. Oh, man. Quick, to the mall, to one of those kiosks where they read the writing on the grains of rice.
Yeah, it says, will you marry me?
Okay. All right. My friend at the mall kiosk says that it says Friday.
Yeah. Friday. 13.
No.
Halloween.
Fuck! Quick to the kiosk. Oh man.
All right. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the podcast where you make us play shit games.
Yes. And then we talk about them. Why are you doing this to us? Probably so we'll keep doing the show. Never mind.
And because we ask you to.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
And we really appreciate it when people do this thing.
Yeah, it was a rhetorical question. It was part of a device. It's,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it was probably my idea, too, to ask that thing. So, oh, well.
It's okay. Yeah. Okay, nothing wrong with rhetoric.
Oh, that's fine. But, yes, this is Friday the 13th.
Has there been, you know, hey, our bad t-shirt company?
Oh, yeah.
Rhetoric Tatum or Rhetoric Douglas?
Rhetoric Douglas. I think Rhetoric Douglas, that's almost, that is almost, let's see here. Like
what he actually does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little too inappropriate, but there's got to be somebody named Frederick.
Yeah.
We can have them just on a stump.
Like, what is Freddy from Scooby-Doo? What's his full name?
I don't know.
Well.
and it's really implied that his full name is Frederick, but I don't think they ever call him that.
Yeah,
anything.
No, his full name is Frederick Fred Jones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Rhetoric Jones.
Yeah, Rhetoric
Jones. I forgot that Rhetoric Tatum wasn't a real person.
Yeah, I know, right?
I was caught it halfway through and went to my backup, Frederick, which is the civil rights leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoops.
Did I pass? Did I bounce Lil Zim off of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Got Lil Zim.
Yeah. Yep. Should we tell people what this is, or is that?
Yeah. So me, Cole, and Nick Glauber have started a t-shirt company called Terrible Shirts for You Assholes. And it is just the dumbest, stupidest, like everything I hate about t-shirts just mashed together. And it would be purely like none of us achieve our dreams. None of us go anywhere in life. And we just don't want to work jobs we hate for the rest of them. So we start this t-shirt company that will go over at your various PAXs and Dragon Cons and BlizzCons and such,
mm-hmm.
which are just, you know, here's pop culture thing A, here's pop culture thing B, rub them together until humor is made.
Yeah.
You know,
until humor is made.
Yeah. That's where so we don't want to give away all our ideas.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But Rhetoric Tatum, that one's free.
Yeah. So. Rhetoric. That's going to be on the special. Like when you pay $5 for a random shirt, you just get all of our leftover Rhetoric Tatum shirts. with the,
He pushed his wife down a flight of stairs. He really regrets it. Yeah. Isn't that kind of crazy that they were like making light of that?
It is. And it's also in The Simpsons got some of my biggest laughs because I wasn't expecting it. Like there's a part, like I love the bully one where Nelson's beating him and he says something like, he's like, far be it from me to hit a child, but you leave me little retorts. And he starts rolling up his sleeves. Yeah. And just the seriousness with which he says that, like, is really funny to me.
He'll fustigate him to verticality.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. Boxing in The Simpsons is great.
Oh man.
But there's probably an essay somewhere out there on like how sports are portrayed in The Simpsons.
Oh, I'm positive. Because
they have different kinds of kind of attitudes they take towards all of them. Mm-hmm. But anywho.
Anyway, Friday the 13th.
Yes.
So astute listeners will notice that we delayed an episode. We initially said we were going to play Mission Impossible 64. That is happening next week. We wanted to put this one in this spot because we are in favor of spookiness.
Yeah, and Eric Hyde suggested it as a Halloween thing. Ooh. And super fan Eric. Yes. And we obliged.
Yeah, no.
Which, you know, Friday the 13th, which I kind of have been meaning to play again anyway.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say, but it was true. So, published by LGN, developed by Atlas.
Yep.
What? Like Atlas is good.
Yeah.
It's a stupid.
Like, but even in... Okay, so I didn't look. Normally I do. Even in this era, where they... Were they hitting it out of the park as much?
No, I don't think so. Here, let me like pull.
Yeah,
up this
no,
list
I'm looking
of,
it up. Like they did wacky races. They did wacky races for the NES.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wacky races.
The Karate Kid.
Karate Kid's real bad.
Yeah.
But they also did Rockin' Cats, which is a good game.
Huh. And they were busting out like Megaten games back then too, which some people enjoy.
Yeah. Which are exactly that's the very definition of good games that are not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, so Atlas developed this, which is really strange. I'm kind of surprised they didn't do Jaws for the NES because that's the closest thing this game has. Like this game is a lot like Jaws, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was developed by Westone Bit Entertainment. So
Westone Bit.
Yeah. Westone Bit who have a surprisingly lengthy Wikipedia and did Monster World 2.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That sounds like a red thing. Link to me, Westone Bit.
It does, but it actually works.
Huh.
Surprisingly. It's Friday the 13th and anything goes.
All the up red is down, left is right.
Yes. Red things go somewhere. But anyway, Atlas made this game, which like, this is a bad game. It's like super bad game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything from the LGN Power Play series.
Yeah.
It's going to be garbage. However, like there's things to like about this game or things that are neat, not to like.
Yeah.
You're never going to appreciate anything in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
However,
if you take a distant view of it, like I was flabbergasted after having tried to play it for a half hour, went and read the game facts, like just summary of the mechanics. And I was like, oh, if I knew that's what was happening, I'd feel really neat about this.
And that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, other than the fact that's really repetitive, but like the log line for this, like, you know, you're at a camp, you're being stalked by Jason and he is stalking kids in the camp and you don't know when he's going to strike and you have to go kind of save them while trying to solve the puzzle of like and get stronger to defeat him.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And then every time you defeat him, he comes back stronger.
Right.
And it's like more challenging. Pretty neat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets ruined by the same thing that ruined like so many NES games is the fucking like you jump or do something random and then get an item.
Right.
Like it's kind of like these early, like the same thing that happens in Mylon Secret Castle and shit where developers didn't understand that there needs to be a connection between what you do and what you get.
Yeah.
You know what? I hate that shit.
Causality.
Yeah. Exactly. It's that causality golf that happened with old NES games and I fucking hate it.
Yeah. I noticed a little bit, like, so to get the lighter, which you use to set a couple of fires in some fireplaces in order to get your flashlight.
So just keep in mind that you light up like six fireplaces to get a flashlight.
Yeah.
So like there's a causality golf right there. Like that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, yeah. But in order to get the for your character to get that, you just have to kill a bunch of zombies. That's what I thought. I just killed zombies until one showed up.
Yeah, and that's what happens. But there's no real. Like, there's no reason to think that, you know, so it could happen naturally. However, like, yeah, I quickly became aware that the best way to avoid zombie or, you know, get around zombies is jump over them.
Yeah, yeah.
To spawn, you know, unlimited zombies.
Also, but, hey, remember all those zombies from the Friday the 13th movies?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or the creatures from the Black Lagoon from the Castlevania games, also the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah, and also how Freddy could Jason could control the creatures of the night.
Yeah, yeah,
and wolves and ratchets.
How his mom is a Medusa head.
Yeah,
yeah, fucking weird. So there's no, you know, I wasn't attacking anything. So like the first time I played through, I was younger, I got further. I never actually beat it or understood it, but I got further than the first time I played. I just kind of played until all my guys were dead, and I could have just kept going unless all the kids didn't die. But I couldn't fight Jason, and I couldn't find the lighter because I was just avoiding zombies. And then what the lighter gives you is weird too. You don't actually need the flashlight to beat the game.
No.
When you get the lighter, that's off. You also get the knife now and then. And then you can go into the woods and get a torch, right? Yeah. I watched a speed run of it that was 3 minutes long. So you can, it's one of those like super direct path games.
Yeah.
But
we should talk about just the way that it's like generally structured though. So you've got these, what is it, six counselors?
Yeah.
That's
very happy.
Yeah, I know. Like super
cheery. Smiling teens. Like.
They look like portraits from a Maniac Mansion.
I love that. So one thing that's kind of true of this game, if it had a little bit longer of a loop, the music is generally kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
And the character select screen has the creepiest music, but it just has six like smiling diverse teens just staring at you.
Which one's supposed to be Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Mark.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a Gaiden game. Yeah. It doesn't. It's a side story to the movie. This is supposed to be the camp he went to before the movie or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's 1.5. Yeah, I heard that one of my cousins had a developer disc with Friday the 13th 1.5 on it. And
is that like my uncle worked at Nintendo thing or?
Yeah, it was that, and I was trying to make a joke about Resident Evil 1.5.
Okay,
it didn't really work. Even though that does tell me, you know, also in the Wikipedia they do categorize this as survival horror.
Yeah. So that's we should talk about that.
Yeah,
eventually. Well, it's kind of scary. Like when you're in those houses in the first person view, and Jason shows up.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's real spooky.
Like not even out of nowhere because you see his health bar at the bottom. But you don't know when
it's gonna happen.
Yeah, just like boom, there it is, and then it's punch out with Jason.
And the music is louder and faster and the unpredictability of like when where he's gonna strike.
Mm-hmm.
The quest to gather resources, the kind of like disempowerment of having, you know, these vulnerable characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like you cannot go like just fight him until you get some good weapons, and nobody else can fight him, so the kids, you know, he's murdering kids left and right.
That's like, mildly upsetting.
Yeah. And they just go down like the counter.
Yeah.
Just goes down. Like he's just murdering one at a time. And then when you get there, they all have those huge fucking grins on their face. Yep. Like, thank you. like you brought them ice cream.
It's like a War Games version of Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
It's a Nerf machete, you guys.
Like, it's so weird. Like just the smiling faces.
Yeah.
Kids and counselors alike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is pretty scary. There's also that weird persistence to it. Like if you know roughly where he is and and your character dies or something like that, you can switch to another character, you know, from a different cabin and go to that same place and he's there. So there's this path that he generally follows.
Yeah.
At the very least, he sticks around for a while before he pops up somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. He moves around. Like he is stalking and kind of moving around of his own volition.
Yeah.
Which again is really cool. Like the fact that there's this, separate entity moving around the map doing its own thing.
Yeah.
And then so you're running around just kind of a side scrolling view of pretty bland cabins. And when you go into them, you know, if you haven't read the manual or anything, which I didn't read the manual, maybe that kind of explains all this stuff that was annoying to me.
Yeah.
But they're mostly just empty and you just find a fireplace. Sometimes you find another counselor you can switch to, and it's pretty perplexing. Then when he attacks, like you start getting that like phone ringing.
Yeah.
It's like ring to the beat,
mm-hmm.
Music that pops up. And then if you look at your map, there's a flashing cabin. That's where Jason's at,
mm-hmm.
and you can go fight him off. If you are equipped well enough to kind of do so and kind of survive.
Yeah. Because he can take you down in like four hits.
Yeah. He's really tough because he's Jason.
Yeah,
and and at first you're just throwing unlimited rocks before you find unlimited knives, then unlimited lit torches to throw at him. But navigating this map is difficult.
Yeah, just because if you're at an intersection, your perspective will just kind of switch. So left will not always be west, and right will not always be east.
Right, and sometimes you're at an intersection and you don't know which one would be up.
Yeah.
You know, which one would be up or which one would be down.
Mm-hmm.
That's also frustrating.
And then they do the most beloved thing of the entire NES, SNES era, the Mystical Forest puzzle.
Yeah, yeah, which is garbage. And I think you do that to, because I got into that cave out in the forest, and I couldn't find anything down there. I guess there are cliffs that only certain counselors.
Yeah, the different counselors have different stats, like specifically run, jump, and attack.
Yeah. Yeah. So I brought like a chubby counselor and he couldn't jump up that cliff. But that's where you find the mom, right? I've only seen the mom in like pictures and stuff. I've never actually found her.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. I think the cave and the forest are two different things. The cave is over at the west and the forest is over at the east.
Yeah. I've been in both, but I wasn't able to find them.
Yeah, so. I found no purchase there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then the mother is a Medusa head, which I've seen pictures of.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. But it's just bizarre that the real combat takes place in this kind of, you know, punch out sense.
A little bit. Yeah, like shitty punch out.
Yeah.
You know, where Jason just kind of like glides left and right and then sometimes glides towards you and takes a bunch of punches and you can kind of duck.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. You just attack him when he's far away.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's all there is to that. Mm-hmm. In these little first person sections, there are like Goonies.
Yeah.
Like Goonies 2, rather. Which is probably, you know, again, kind of a visual analog to this in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then you just defeat Jason 3 times and you do it.
Yeah. And he gets more difficult in that he has different weapons, right? So it's machete then axe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. So it's real simple, like, just in terms of the victory. Just kill Jason.
It's a similar thing to what you do in Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Jaws victory conditions are very, like, almost identical.
Right.
Like you just fight Jaws enough times where eventually he tries to ram your boat and you just have to aim the front of your boat to skewer him on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is to it. Like, yeah.
So would the way to make this game better, I mean, aside from clarifying the, clarifying the interface and the causality and stuff, would it be to kind of like cut out the intermediate zombie enemy things that are there and kind of make it, I'm bringing this forward like seven different generations, but
yeah. I would love to see, so have the zombies be rarer. Excuse me. I would love to have like, I mean, you wouldn't be able to do this on the NES really, but, have the cabins have like a lot more detail and almost be like a floor of a mania or of a Resident Evil kind of thing. And just like add more, like you could do a cool remake with this idea, which I guess they kind of did with like Clock Tower.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, Clock Tower is real similar. And that really might be the game that I'm talking about wanting to play.
So. Yeah, yeah. There have been good ideas. You know, people have taken ideas from this that ended up being okay.
Yeah.
You gotta do something to make it better though, because as is, it's pretty shitty. It's real ugly. You do that NES thing when you jump and your body scrunches down, like your spine bends backwards for your jump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is fucking atrocious looking.
Yeah, they don't quite understand, like, shading too much. Like, there's just your character's, I think the Ur example of this is, what is it? The Never Trouble Trouble guy. What's that?
Oh, yeah, the guy from Bad Street Brawler.
Yeah, from Bad Street Brawler, where it's just, like, people who, you know, does very poor sprite work. You know, no dimensionality to it.
I will say though that some of the kind of color sets, like when it turns to sundown in the level, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really cool. And then even night looks pretty striking.
Mm-hmm.
Just those like big bold flat NES colors look a lot better during those periods.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of takes like a Castlevania turn when it turns to evening, where it's like everything is orange and blues. You know, that complementary color. You know, tons of contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of take on it.
Yeah. Was Jason supernatural? I forget.
I think he didn't start out supernatural. Well, he's always supernatural. So, like, you know, I've seen Friday the 13th. That's the only one I've seen. And then I think I've seen, like, Freddy versus Jason 6. Or, like one of, like, Jason X 12.
On pay-per-view when they were in Vegas, right?
When I dated a really inappropriate girl who liked this shit. Who was, like, a bad match. Too? Yeah, yeah, in high school. Yeah, my first girlfriend, actually, was pretty into this nonsense. And and we watched watched one of these movies. That was before Freddy vs. Jason, but we watched one of the later ones. I can't remember when that was. Whatever one like came out in the late 90s. Yeah. Yeah, so Jason, he got drowned in the lake, mm-hmm. right? So that's true. And then came back as killer. And then he just kept doing it until at some point he goes to New York and Mars and then fights Freddy. That's my understanding of Jason as a character.
Okay.
He is supernatural. He's hard to kill even in the first one, I want to say.
Right.
Like Eric, if Eric is listening to this, he's going fucking bonkers. Like he probably thought or thinks that I know this movie pretty well because like I like horror movies.
Yeah.
But I don't. Mm-hmm. I do not know this franchise at all. The first one I think is actually probably a pretty good movie, mm-hmm. But for what it is, but the I never got deep.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he exists just to punish people for having sex.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's really exactly. All the slasher movie is and was.
Right.
I conservative had
sexual anxiety.
Pretty much. I enacted through horrible violence against children.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend. Shortly after high school, in that horrible summer between high school and college, who was way too into the Halloween movies.
Mm.
And so I've seen several of those, including...
Did you see three?
Yes, it was bonkers.
Yeah, three is fucking off the wall.
Yeah.
Like, that movie is incredible.
With the song and the druids and stuff.
And, yeah, like, and just the mask turning people's faces into insects.
Yeah.
Like laser insects, like that movie's uh-huh. incredible.
Yeah.
The first Halloween I think is actually really good.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I find that movie really genuinely unnerving and
it has
scary.
This crazy psychological angle to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's what always happens with these like diminishing returns, mm-hmm. you know, for all these things. Like the first Nightmare on Elm Street one's the only one that I think is actually kind of scary and good.
Yeah. Because it has an amazing premise.
Yeah. Yep. And then later, like the one that I have affection for other than that is the Dream Warriors one, mm-hmm. where like everybody, they fantasize when whatever they fantasize about, they get to be, mm-hmm. you know, it starts like introducing the idea of lucid dreaming into that.
Yeah.
That world is really neat. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, those movies are only good initially.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at go ahead.
No, I'm just trying to figure out which I prefer, because really the only analog that to the slasher that I've had in my lifetime has been like the torture porn stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I liked Saw 1 and 2 in their time and place, but I'm trying to figure out like which one has implications I'm more comfortable with.
when it comes to morality plays,
yeah.
by way of horror movies, like I'm always going to go the George Romero
route. Yeah.
Like those you know,
it's
those
more societal first, stuff. Yeah,
yeah, like I'm way more into that, like rather than like The Last House on the Left kind of like let's kill a girl for, you know, going out and doing swinging pot.
Mm-hmm.
I should point out that I'm on the Jason Voorhees Wikipedia page.
Okay.
And there is concept art for Uber Jason.
Is it like after Nemesis loses his trench coat?
It's like that if it was all made of cyber. Like Uber Jason's cyber incredible. Jason. He's got a scimitar, and he's made out of like bio cybernetics. It looks like Cable's arm.
Oh, he got the technovirus.
Yeah, exactly. He got it from Doug Locke. there's a deep X-Force cut for people. But yeah, Uber Jason. I guess that's the one Jason from Jason X. God, there's a rich mythology here.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, like, for something that should have just been like guy in mask with knife.
Yes.
Like, so stupid. Like, why?
Like, okay, guy in mask with knife with all of the nouns in that linked.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, so you know what a guy is, so you know what a mask yeah. is, and so you know yeah. what a knife is.
That makes you me want to make, I bet you could do really well with like a hobo with a shotgun style, like fakey grindhouse movie, just like guy in mask with knife.
I'm so
like that title yeah. would sell itself.
I'm
like,
so fucking tired of Grindhouse.
Well, I'm aesthetic. Just talking about money. This is if the yeah. t-shirt company
okay
and like ties yeah. guy in mask with knife will do it for us.
Guy in mask.
I'm serious, man.
You know what? I'm saying let's simplify it. Let's just go guy with knife.
Guy with knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guy with knife would probably do it too. That trailer would go viral as shit.
Yeah.
It'd be BuzzFeeded. There'd be all kinds of animated GIFs.
Yeah.
About like, you know, here's 15 pictures of, you know, I don't know, Julia Roberts, that explains how excited we are with Guy for Knife.
Yeah, no. Like, all you have to do, you just make it go viral enough that BuzzFeed catches it, makes a GIF out of it, and puts it into a list of things that let you know that you're an extroverted 90s kid.
Yeah, exactly. For people with no taste.
Yeah.
who are not discriminate in their internet browsing.
Yeah.
Jason's classification on Wikipedia is mass murderer, but he has a classification section. Like, it's like a trading card.
Yeah.
Signature weapon, machete.
What's his RBI?
Zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. He was very poor at sports. Yeah. Jason and I are alike in that way.
Well, that's why he got drowned as a kid. Yeah. Like, any of us could have become Jason.
Yeah, no.
Like, he's just a mentally disabled young boy who is deformed and got thrown in a lake.
Yeah, no.
That's it. Like, I mean, that's why we relate so much, is because that could have been either of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, if that were to happen to us now, like, anybody puts us in a lake now, we're going to haunt something. Like, probably just the Facebook page with us just, like, you know, like, ineffectually throwing our nub fingers at the keyboard and just, just a string of H's and G's.
Go away, Cole. You're drunk.
And then we're just banning people and making other people admins and just randomly haunting the area in and around our Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know. Horror, scary stuff.
Yeah.
Good?
I mean, it's like I want to like the game has those good ideas. Mm-hmm. The movie franchise, I want it to have, I want it to be good.
Yeah.
I want the movie franchise to be good. I like creepy stuff. This concept's fine. However, you know. Nothing.
Are there any good reviews?
There's lots of, there are lots of good reviews for it. Weirdly, and it's in that weird spot where like the reviews are either like nines and eights and I don't necessarily trust them, or like they're being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Because this was something we should note. Angry Video Game Nerd did this. So that always drives a lot of people out of the woodwork to kind of get on the, like, I'm making fun of this bandwagon.
Yeah.
Hopefully no one mistakes us for that. But that does happen. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are just like, 10 out of 10, 5 out of 10, amazing game, blah, blah, bloop. And then there are a bunch of people who just have like considered proper looks like we do, like cool ideas executed poorly.
Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, GameFAQs is weirdly on point with this one.
Yeah.
Seen Jason in the movies, see him in the game.
wearing a purple jumpsuit, I guess.
This is actually a pretty good review. That's the name of it. Intro. With all the Friday movies, this is the game.
For as many Friday movies as there have been, there is also a game.
You play kids who must protect kids from Jason in their houses. This is actually pretty great. I'm pretty sure English is not this person's first language.
Or it's just simple English to Wikipedia.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a text-to-speech from an email he got. The story is the weak point. It's the same story as the movies, jackass. What are you talking about?
They couldn't show kids fucking, or else it would have been...
Yeah, I know. And Custer's Revenge by way of... That's a good idea. Like, a actual, like... Yeah, I guess it's not a good idea. Without all the racism.
Show minors fucking in an NES game.
That's a good idea.
Cut, print, we're good.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to do, like, I guess that's kind of what, what's that Sega CD game?
Night Trap.
That's kind of what that was.
He plays a Canadian trapper.
Yeah. Killing businessmen and selling their suits. That game's kind of like the opposite. Or you're protecting people with your Corey Haim, or, no, you're Skippy. Right, in that game, from Family Ties, and you're protecting girls in the Night Trap House.
I think you're protecting them, like Dana Plato sings into a brush.
Yeah,
and
I know
ODs.
That. I'm trying to think, like, you could almost make a game, and it would be sociopathic and dumb and violent, but, like, the idea of, and if you were to do it properly with the right touch of, like, satirizing this kind of thing, where teens are doing things that, because of your insane morality, like, you don't want. Like, I almost feel like you could do... Play with that in a good way.
Like, if you cross Rorschach with Jigsaw?
Yeah. Rorschach, yeah, exactly. Like, Rorschach by Jigsaw with, like, a specific era's mentality. Like, do it up like a real loving period piece, like a Vice City-style thing where everything breathes 80s.
Do it like a Tecmo's Deception or
like an anti-hero at best.
Mm-hmm.
Game where you play the antagonist and do stuff like that. You can almost make a good game out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made me want to play Goonies too. Like, playing this made me like remember how much I like that game.
Yeah,
was like, oh, I got to play Goonies too. But yeah, so it's not Redemption.
No,
but it's not as bad as it's like Reputation would have it say. Like, what did we do? What are the last couple of games we did? Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy, Home Alone, which, you know.
Yeah, Home Alone's actually not too bad. Yeah. But like, this is way better than Ren and Stimpy.
Oh God, yeah, it's like playable.
It's a cool idea. It's a playable yeah. And it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
You know, like that's going to go a long way in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's not quite like Pac-Man 2 level, and it's not quite Home Improvement level of actual good play. But it's you know, it's not as bad as either could be.
What I love how as we gain distance from Home Improvement,
it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, like
yeah. Game of the Year Home Improvement for yeah. the SNES.
Uh-huh.
my three favorite games this year are The Stanley Parable, Gone Home, and Home Improvement for the SNES.
Yeah.
So.
So this was Eric Hyde, you said?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you, Eric.
Yeah, continue to fuck yourself.
Yes.
Just whenever you get a chance.
And we would like to wish everybody a happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah.
Sorry if this episode wasn't super spooky.
Yeah. I'll put some theremin in the background. Yeah,
anybody who listens to it does die 5 days later.
So. Yeah. So, yeah. It's remarkable. We've kept the numbers up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We're like the podcast is like an alien virus that just moves planet to planet. And we just have to make sure that we end up getting put on one of those gold pressed records that goes into space
before we
kill everyone on Earth.
Yeah,
or at least everyone in NASA.
It's like I was about ready to spoil Snow Crash. Oh. We're doing like neuro-linguistic programming on people. So please do the usual stuff, iTunes ratings, reviews, do the Facebook thing, is facebook.com/abject suffering. May I pimp Hex Crank, since it is apropos of
it
the
is.
Discussion yes
Indeed.
So yep. Started a new project. It is a survival horror blog, taking a chronological and historical look at survival horror throughout the history of gaming. We have an initial post up where I have put a, you know, like expose my entire list for what I would like to play, and people have been really helpful in finding things that I missed. Nobody's taken anything off of it yet, but you are encouraged to do so, because no matter how much preparation and weird research I do, I'm going to come up short in a lot of ways. So it's going to start out just as a blog, but I can't be kept away from doing podcasts for too terribly long. It is my curse and my burden, and I would also like to do some vidya stuff. So yeah, pay attention to that, and I hope that you'll be rewarded with good stuff.
Yep. And as an act of violence, I made sure to remind Cole of this game on the blog.
It's in there.
It wasn't when I searched it earlier.
Yeah, it's in my ongoing tabulation. I need to go in and like figure out when those games are released, and then put them in the proper order.
In a less violent, like in a less, you know, mean note, Uninvited should definitely be in there.
Yeah,
if
definitely.
Like Sanitarium is. If you're up for doing straight up scary and scratches, if you're going to do scary adventure games, Uninvited is really cool. I want more NES representation on that list. It's really interesting to look at survival horror on a primitive kind of system like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you for suffering that small little plug. I'm going to try and involve people from the network too, and maybe even consumers. It's really amorphous at this point, but I just want to get some articles under my belt.
Yeah. Would you allow me a minor plug?
Yeah.
Walking home from work today, I stopped by a convenience store and I was thirsty and I asked what to drink, and the clerk brought out some Pepsi, and I drank some of it and it is delicious.
Oh, fantastic.
So please drink Pepsi.
Can I get Pepsi in my area?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe that it's out of the test markets in Oregon.
Oh, wow.
And Crystal Lake, and now can be found everywhere that people, I think the tagline is everywhere that drinkers drink.
Okay. Are there different varieties?
Yeah. Yep.
So
thin,
like,
thick, tall, short.
Okay. I prefer not to drink my calories unless it's alcohol. So is there a lighter fare for me?
It's alcoholic, as is.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's something you add to Coke in order to get a mix drink.
Yeah, no. Okay, so
they call it boot juice, and they're gonna love it.
Okay, new urban legend. If you mix Pepsi and Coke, you make boo juice, and it gets you wicked fucked up.
That's the second pitch tweet. is boot juice?
Is it?
Yep.
Okay. So. It's,
yeah.
Oh man. But so
in real life, listen to all our other stuff.
Yeah.
And don't drink Pepsi. It's gross. If you're gonna drink a soda, drink Coke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, you animals.
Mm-hmm.
Pepsi's nasty.
Yep, Mexican Coke or Coke Zero, you yep, monsters. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Pepsi is something like you add to coffee to make it sweeter. Like it is not, it's not something you drink on its own.
Yeah.
It is so grossly sweet and nasty.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I used to drink Pepsi, but then I stopped.
Yeah. Before some murder, before some murderer got you.
Yeah. So let's land this bird.
All right. Yeah. Good night and good luck. Do all those social media things. Next episode, we're talking about Mission Impossible 64.
Yes.
Will we like it?
Nope.
Tune in to find out.
No. we're going to talk about it like right now. I don't like it.
Yeah. Indeed.